Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples were confused about what to do next. So they went back to what they knew best, fishing. But on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, everything changed when the risen Savior appeared and asked Peter a powerful question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" It wasn't really about the fish. It was about devotion, commitment, and what it truly means to follow Christ. In his inspiring book, Called to Discipleship, Turning to Christ with Full Purpose of Heart, author Michael Stephen Perlis explores that life-changing moment in Scripture and what it means for believers today. Are we willing to place Christ above everything else in our lives? And what does it truly mean to answer his call to feed my sheep? Michael is an author, business trainer, and speaker whose work focuses on faith, perseverance, and strengthening our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Through Scripture, personal reflection, and powerful insight, he reminds us that the same question Jesus asked Peter still being asked of each of us today. Michael Stephen Perlis examines what it means to answer Christ's call. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us on the show. What was it in John 21, verse 1 through 19, that so moved you, inspired you, motivated you to write this book?
Well, thank you, Rick. Yes, I was. I had an experience, I believe, that occurred just before this that I think plays into this, and I'll share that. If you could see the tree through the window behind me, you could see that it is a red maple tree. And one Sabbath, one Sunday, I was looking out the window, and it was summertime. The leaves were out, beautiful time of the year. And there was a hummingbird, and he was flying around that tree. He'd hover, and then he'd fly, and he'd hover, and he'd fly. And I looked at all of this activity, and I thought, you know what? He's looking for flowers. He's looking for nectar. And guess what? No matter how intent he was, no matter how serious, how focused, there will never be any nectar on that tree for him. And so that was kind of in the background, I think, of my mind and heart as I was reading in the New Testament and read this experience that you just shared about Peter and the other apostles. And as I read that, and the Savior's response to Peter after a night of fishing, and they hadn't caught a thing, and the Savior told them to take their nets, put it down the right side of the boat, and they caught 153 fish. I just think it's interesting that the Bible recorded the number of fish.
Yes.
It was truly a miracle. So there they are with the fish. They come in. The Savior has a fire going, and he's working on some food for these brethren of his, if you will. And then he asked Peter this question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he's looking at the fish, but he's really talking about Peter's intent with his life. For he had followed the Savior. And after the crucifixion and the resurrection, he and the others didn't know what to do. And this experience became the one that gave Peter the understanding that he needed to go forward and to truly be a disciple or a follower of Christ. And when you read that, and at least this is the way that it affected me, I thought, you know what? This question is for all of us regarding the Savior. Do we love him more than we love the other things of the world that are around us? And for Peter, it meant giving up fishing. It meant following to do what Christ wanted him to do. And I think about all the different hats I wear in my life, perhaps as a provider, as a father, as a grandfather, and the things that are a part of our lives. And I had to do some real introspection when I asked myself that question, do I love him more than I love these things that surround me? And so that is the foundation. That was the energy when I read that in the New Testament for this book. And it came together with that experience that I had with a hummingbird. Who would have ever guessed
that
little hummingbird, yeah, could be could change my life, and it did.
It's an amazing story. The book is called To Discipleship. Our guest is the author, Michael Stephen Perlis. That's P-U-R-L-E-S. Important because his website is michaelperlis.com. We have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. People may be listening and going, well, I'm a follower. Does that make me a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? Define that, if you would.
Isn't that an interesting question? Because when you look up disciple, follower is one of the words that describes it. But it's more than that.
Yes.
In my mind, much more than that. Do I have the same desires? Do I have the same focus? Have I given myself to the things that Jesus Christ would have me do in order to be a follower, like Peter was a follower? Peter needed to give up things, no longer to be a fisherman. What was he going to do? He was going to go out to bless the lives of others. That was his calling. Well, I have a calling here too in my life. And I've just kind of brought that up as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather. I have those. But you know what? I belong to a larger family than that. I belong to the family of our Father in heaven. And so every person in this world literally is a brother or a sister to me. And do I love the Savior enough to take the gifts and the abilities that I've been given to bless their lives? And that's where I am with this, Rick. This with that information in the New Testament and having a hummingbird in my life.
Yes.
Certainly have given me some direction. Now, there's some sensitivities here that are a part of me that may be similar to others out there. Have you got a moment that I could share a little bit of my family background?
Yes, oh, please do, because that gives us an insight into who you are, and you're deeply reflective in the book, Called to Discipleship, and explaining what you went through to become a disciple. So please tell that story.
Well, I am, I'm transitioning, I'm growing, I'm being raised, if you will. My wife is still raising me, hoping to get me there. So just understand that, if you will. When my wife and I got married, we were excited when we learned that there was going to be the birth of a child. And then my wife went past her due date. And so we started to wonder what's going on. And then the birth comes. And the baby is put in my hands for a few minutes, and it's one of those exciting moments as a young man in this life. And I get home, and I get a phone call, and it tells me that this child, this daughter, has heart issues. And what happened is, it turned out the right side of her heart didn't develop. And how was she to be saved? So she had open heart surgery the second day of her life. And because of the right side hadn't developed, they had to take the main aorta and the pulmonary artery, and they sewed them together and created a hole in it. And that became the right side of her heart.
Amazing.
Well, this child grew up. She lived to be almost 20. And she was about the size of a 9-year-old because her physical body just couldn't handle what had taken place with that. Now, I had interesting experiences with others, because one of the things that happened through this experience with my daughter was a focus that became internal, focused inside of me. And it turned me to the heavens. Prayer, if it had never been important in my life before, it was certainly important then. How do we bring into this world a child that is less than capable physically, and yet she's a daughter of our Father in heaven. How do we take care of her? What do we do to bless her life? And that became a real focus for me, Rick. And it turned out that we have no family history of heart issues like this, but my third child also had heart issues, and his were more operable than this daughter. So very tender feelings, very poignant focus. And I suspect that my experience in coming to understand this was not dissimilar to Peter's, as he had to answer the Christ's question to him, "Lovest thou me more than these, the fish?" And here, and Peter answered in this way. He said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And the Savior said, "Feed my lambs." Ask him that question three times. And the second and third time, Peter answered the same way, and the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Well, Michael, you've had this experience with this daughter and with this son, and you have been given opportunity to draw closer to the Savior through the challenges that are in your life. Are you meeting him? Do you love the Savior more than you love these things? And I'm talking about things in life.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm going. That's who I want to be, Rick. I want to be like Peter. I want to say, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And it's that spirit, that feeling, that is the reason that this book got written by me.
The book is called To Discipleship. The author is Michael Stephen Perlis, P-U-R-L-E-S. His website is michaelperlis.com. Links on to his website and Amazon for the book available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Michael, what attribute, is there a main attribute that's essential in becoming his disciple? Where do people start?
Certainly it's desire. And combined in that desire is humility. Are we willing, this is the way I see it, Rick, are we willing to kneel down and to pray to our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ? And are we willing to say, "Lord, I love thee. What would thou have me do in my life? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I follow the Savior?" If we want to do that, then I know that that instruction will come, as will the opportunities and the touching of lives, so that we actually help to lift burdens, to help others come to know who they are and what their relationship is with Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And it's this desire with humility, ask the question, listen for the answer, and then go about doing what you're instructed to do. And that's what Peter did. And his example for me is just so perfect. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times, we know of in reading the scriptures. And did that ruin his relationship with the heavens? No. It helped him to learn who he is. And Michael has certainly hasn't led a perfect life. But I know what it's like to repent, to be forgiven, and to strive to follow the Savior, and the blessings that come even through the most difficult of challenges in our lives, and how grateful I am for those challenges and the examples that I have in front of me.
You share those qualities, you share those themes in the book, Call to Discipleship. And as you're hearing, as Michael is talking, it's not been the wonderful, perfect life for him. There have been ups and downs and struggles. It's he's relatable. The book is relatable. It's available wherever books are sold. MichaelPurles.com, the website, P-U-R-L-E-S. What does full purpose of heart mean? That's an expression you use. Explain that.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting expression?
Yes.
Because I can split up in my life where I want to focus energy and time and what I really believe in or what I have casual interest in or whatever. I can spread myself thin in lots of different ways. And in fact, the world seems to require that sometimes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so there we are, imperfect. And yet we're still children of a Father in heaven. And Jesus Christ is still the Savior, the Creator, the Redeemer. So full purpose of heart to me means I want to be a true disciple. That means not only being a follower, but I want to think and choose and act in the way that our Father in heaven or the Savior would have me do that. I can't say, you know, I want to be a true disciple of Christ, a true follower, and then pick and choose between the things that I'm instructed to do. I need to embrace all of it. Now, will I embrace it perfectly? Absolutely not. Perfection is not mine. If you could have a little interview with my wife, you would understand that very clearly.
She would explain it, I'm sure.
She would. And it would be straightforward. And I absolutely love her. She is a part of me. And hopefully I am a part of her, and not perfect, but striving and willing to receive correction when it's needed. And have I had that happen? Absolutely. I know what it's like to pray for understanding, for forgiveness, even to be chastised by the Spirit for it, because that's what I needed, because I needed that understanding. And so, yes, all of those, that's all a part of my life, even as it was part of Peter's life. He was the chief apostle, and he denied him three times. Did Peter have need of repentance? Absolutely. And did he go on to fulfill the mission he was given? Yes. That's what Michael hopes for me, that I will complete the mission I have here in mortality.
You know, it's interesting. You present discipleship as a developmental process rather than a single transformational moment. Talk about that. And it sounds like that process is daily with you. You go through the process, and it's a process of growth. Talk about that. It's not something that, okay, I'm going to be a disciple, and it's over with. It is transformational, isn't it?
It is absolutely transformational. We grow in those abilities just as we grow from being a child to a young adult to an adult. And hopefully we're paying attention and we learn all along the way. We learn what works, what doesn't work, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. And we make those choices that say appropriate, that say faithful, that say I care, that say I love, and learning to use those and so we do grow into this discipleship. I've come to know, I believe, that the greatest power on earth is actually love. When you use love, it is transformational for you and the exercise of that love. I may not like all the things that I see other people doing, But can I love them even as the Savior loves them? I believe I can be on that pathway. I believe I can do that. My love won't be perfect, but as I exercise and I strive with it, that happens. And so I become more complete. Here's an interesting question. Can you tell someone that you love them even though you consider them your enemy? They've done things that you don't agree with or whatever. Can you still love them because they're still part of your family? And being able to do that transforms who we are. And so that's anxiousness that Michael has in his life. I don't have to agree with everybody and all the things that are going on, but can I love them knowing that they're a child of our Father in heaven and that they are loved by their Father in heaven and by the Savior? Yes, I can work with all of that if I'm humble and meek and listening.
The time is going by so quickly. Let's talk about writing the book. It's you have spiritual depth and you also have actionable insights. How did you combine those? It's based in scripture, but then it tells us what we can do. So when we finish reading Call to Discipleship, we actually have a call to action, a roadmap that we can follow.
Hey, we certainly do. That's a marvelous question, Rick. It makes me, when I wrote the book, I didn't know who would be reading it. I didn't even know if it would be published, and I originally self-published it. But my thought process as I was focusing on it was that if I was going to leave a, if you will, a testimony, an understanding for my children and my grandchildren, I wrote the book with that kind of frame of reference. I wanted to help lift their lives because these are people that I know and I love. And so that was behind it. And I believe that, and having that behind it, it made me perhaps more sensitive to the Spirit, to the Holy Ghost, to the scriptures as I would read scriptures. And to go through scriptures and then go, oh, do you know what? That explains a feeling that I have.
Yes.
And so I would use the scripture in the book, but then I would relate the feeling that I have because I wanted my family to know how I felt about these things. This isn't just like a math book. Just, you know, here's the structure. Here's how you get the problem solved, A, B, C, and D. This is about opening Michael up so that family members can understand who he is and maybe even relate to his experiences from their own experiences. And so that's behind it, Rick. And hopefully I've matured through the years. I've got a lot of gray hair, as you can tell. That perhaps I'm seeing my family in a much broader sense than I did years ago in my life.
It sounds like writing this book changed you, like it's changing readers.
It did change me. In fact, it's opened my heart up to want to read and do other writing, to collect things that move me, and to be able to say them, to speak them, to say, yea, Lord, I love thee. Yea, Jerry, my wife, I love you. It's helped to open me up. I believe I'm a better person because of what I have read and written. And if no one were to read my book, writing that book has still been a substantial blessing in my life because it has helped me focus and draw nearer to the Savior, I believe.
What commandments given by Christ influenced you? Is there one? Are there several that really made an impact on you and you try to live up to every day of your life?
That's a good question. There are two. The first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I truly believe it. I know it. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. In some ways, it's the first one's easier for me. I guess because there's distance and yet there's prayer and inspiration and whatnot. But what about my neighbor who said some unkind things about me? And do I love him? That's the second commandment. And I need to love him like I love the Savior or our Father in heaven. Those are the commandments, those two. And they can be embraced by every person. And we learn from them. And as you have pointed out, we are growing. We are transforming. We were not perfect in the beginning, and we won't be perfect at the end, but we will progress. And that will change us. And this point is absolutely essential to understand. When we do that, we invite joy into our lives. Even in the midst of chaos, we can still have joy and peace. And that's the blessing of focusing on the scriptures and getting close through prayer.
I've got several minutes left. I want to talk about, you write about accepting discipleship as both a calling and a responsibility. Talk about that, especially the responsibility part. It's one thing to know we should do it. It's another thing to know we're expected to do it. It is a responsibility of ours.
Yeah, it isn't, isn't it? So, all right. So if I've never read the scriptures, so I don't know what the Savior has said or prophets and apostles have said, how does my life operate outside of that? If I'm not focused in that way, one of the things that I think is really important for us in this is to recognize that even if we haven't had that background, nothing has changed. We are still children of our Father in heaven. Our souls, our beings are composed certainly of physical elements, but we are also children of our Father in heaven, spirit children. That doesn't change. That's who we are. And if we will be humble and meek.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Because we're children of our Father in heaven and he loves us, we will still can and will receive impressions about the right things that we should be doing in our lives. Kindnesses, touching other people. And when we do a right thing, we receive a gift back. We can call it happiness. We can call it joy. We can call it wonder. But we get those. All of these things lead us to come to know truly who we are, whose children we are, and that we will come to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We will, and it will come to all of us as we give ourselves to those Should we call them noble feelings, noble acts? They will. And we can understand all of that and embrace it.
This has been
Did I?
such an inspiring conversation with our guest, Michael Stephen Perlis. That's Purles. His website is michaelperlis.com. The book we've talked about today, called To Discipleship, Turning to Christ with Full Purpose of Heart, book available wherever books are sold. Michael, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. This has been a real treat for me.
Certainly a pleasure to have you on. It all started with a hummingbird looking out the window. It's amazing what you can see when you look out and appreciate nature. The book, again, available, Called to Discipleship, wherever books are sold. And my thanks as well to Fox Press Media, delivering performance-driven marketing, production, and media fulfillment solutions designed to help brands, creators, and businesses scale with precision, creativity, and measurable impact. You'll find them at foxpressmedia.com. You're listening to This Week in America. I'll direct you to our YouTube channel. You'll find us at TWIA-TV. Subscribe while you're there. This Week in America, exploring the issues that shape our lives.